Do we have time? Well, the start of daylight savings time, it seems like an appropriate time to look at our concept of time. Theory and practice, what we do, how we use it. And I guess the real question is about how we use time, how we spend it, how we guard it, how we waste it, and not simply the questions of, and I love the Sitting Bull story, the idea of cutting the blanket off at the top and sewing it at the bottom and thinking that we've got a longer blanket now. But you know that we all lost an hour last night, and we're going to find it again in some months. I used to know how many months, but we keep changing it. And we are modern, so that we know that the time wasn't really stolen from us. It's just a time shift, kind of like our version of TiVo. We've put the time aside to play it later. Our ancestors were not as sophisticated as we, so that when the Julian calendar was switched to the Gregorian calendar, there were people who rioted in the streets because they had to make an adjustment of 10 days because not having fully understood the math and compensated with the right number of leap years and leap days, the calendar had shifted 10 days off so that Christmas was falling 10 days away from the solstice, or actually 12 days away, 10 days away, 12 days away from the solstice. And the holidays were just all out of sync and they were celebrated wrong, so they understood they needed to make a shift. And they cut out 10 days. And people said, you have stolen those days from my life. I will never get them back again. And you've robbed me of my allotted days. After all, the Bible says, we must number our days, and my days are numbered, and you took away 10 of them. And we want them back right now. And then our local politician, Ronis Paulus, said that it was a really bad idea for central government in Rome to put out these edicts all over the world, and many Protestant countries, this part is true, actually resisted because they didn't want to be on Roman-controlled big government time. You know, all the issues just get played again over and over and over. Timeless, isn't it? But we have this idea about time, but time does not live on a calendar. Time doesn't live on our watches. These are how we measure and mark our time. I know that we think that time lives on our watches, and that if we keep looking at our watches during a speech or a sermon, it will speed time up. It's not true. I know that I measure my enjoyment of movies by how many times I'm looking at my watch and going, it really can't go on another hour, can it? I also know there's an inverse relationship between how often I look at the time and how much more slowly time passes. Being stuck in a seatmate on an airplane with a talker, time actually can stand still, which is really hard at, you know, 500 plus miles an hour. But that's what Einstein said. As you accelerate, time slows down and mass expands. And as you approach the speed of light, mass becomes infinite. We're scientific people. We all know this is true. I have no idea what that means. I don't know what infinite mass really means. Although some of my Catholic friends talk about some masses seeming to be both infinite and eternal, but I suspect that that's a juxtaposition of words. We all understand more or less, or act as if we did, that that time is something that is precious. The time is something that is... It can be an abstraction. It can be about philosophy. I once went to an international conference of philosophy in Vienna, and the topic for the entire week was time. Other than getting to meet A.J. Ayer, who was one of the great living philosophers at the time, I didn't learn much except that time was a measurement of change. And of course, even back then, they used the old joke that time is nature's trick to make sure everything doesn't happen at the same time. And it didn't play much better there than it did just now. But the issue that we keep asking about time, it tends to be philosophical, tends to be scientific, when, to me, the critical issue of do we have time is not the question of measurement. It's not the theory of relativity. It's the theory of scarcity. It may not be that we are believers who believe that we have only a certain number of days allotted to us or a certain number of heartbeats allotted to us, but what we have almost inarguably is this moment that we have, that we share. We have this moment of precious time that we should be able to notice and to regard. It's interesting to me that some religions take the view, the end is nigh, repent. It's also interesting that some scientists take the attitude of, the end is nigh, give up. Let me explain. There are a number of systems that get used that have the net effect of diminishing the importance of this life today. Religions have often said, look, this life isn't the real life. This life is just something, it's kind of a quiz before you get the big final in the sky and graduate to real life. And that can diminish the importance of this beautiful day. There's also a theory right now in physics that I don't pretend to understand, and I suspect some of my physicist friends only pretend to understand it, and that is that there are infinite possibilities and infinite worlds, that this may not be the only world in the world, and that in other dimensions, everything not only is possible, but everything happens. And so in some other world, because you have infinite possibilities, times when you turn left instead of turning right, in some other world, Newt Gingrich is a saint, and Mother Teresa is doing hair product infomercials on cable, and I can carry a tune. All of those improbable universes are theoretically possible to with some of the new theories of time and new theories of physics and the infinite possibilities. I have to tell you that while I don't have the ability to understand the physics, I step back from it because I think it creates the same kind of alienation from today, that if there are an infinite number of me out there in the universe, then the choice that I make today isn't very important. And that joins with that religious attitude that the real life is yet to come and what you do today isn't important. It is important. It's all that we know that we have. And we do know that it's limited. And we do know that there is not world enough and time enough just to sit out the beautiful days, the terrible challenges, engaging a universe that we know, that we see, that we feel, that we have the ability to make a difference in. That days that are skipped and people whom we choose not to see today, not to hold today, not to engage and make contact with today, are moments that, if not wasted, they are at least missed. That our living in time, living with change, understanding the relativity of time, understanding that there are times when time seems to pass slowly, some movies, some sermons, some trips, and we also understand that even ticking and regular time is different. I was up in Northern California 3 days this week for my granddaughter's 8th birthday. How my granddaughter is 8, I will not understand. How my son is 40 is absolutely impossible. And the speed of time, decades go by faster than 7th period algebra. I remember 7th period algebra. I remember 7th period algebra class. I don't remember 7th period algebra. I remember the 75 holes in each acoustic tile on the ceiling. I remember the clock that went tick, and then an hour and a half later went tick again. I understand, and I told this story last year, but I'm going to tell it again because it's such a good one, that when I was 8 years old, my father owned a store, and one of our stock boys was a student at Caltech. And I knew enough to know that I didn't know Einstein's theory of relativity. And I asked him, and I had heard that only 5 people in the world understood it. And I asked him if he could explain it to me, and his answer was, yes, I can explain it to you today. You will not understand it for 5 years, but you will understand it perfectly in 5 years. Remember, I'm 8 now. And he said, here's how the relativity of time works. If you sit on a hot stove for a second, it will seem an hour no matter how fast you accelerate off of that hot stove. If a pretty girl sits on your lap for a minute, it will seem like a second. 5 years later, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and all of a sudden I had an epiphany. I understood the theory of relativity. Enjoy the moments. Enjoy the time that we have. The old metaphor is a good metaphor, sands through an hourglass. And we don't know how much time, how much sand is in each of our hourglasses. And the rate that it falls seems not to be constant. I believe that what must happen, and I'm managing this metaphor, is that the sand erodes the tube between the two vessels. And as we get older, that tube gets wider and the sand runs out faster and faster. So the end is nigh. In galactic, geological terms, subspecie eternity, in light of eternity, we have so little time. We have to make it count. We have to make this day happen with as much fullness and experience as we possibly can. We must engage a world, and what we may not do, and I hear this said from time to time by good people, by scientific people, by socially active people, which is the phrase that I hate most. Well, the two phrases, one from religion, one from non-religion. From religion is, don't worry about fixing anything. The Lord will take care of it when he comes back. And we'll fix all the problems. We'll get rid of all of the bad freeways and get rid of fill in the valleys, and death will be no more. That doesn't lead me to do something today, to feed someone today, to make a difference today. But there are also good people who are involved in the world who say, you know, it's probably already too late. It's already too late to clean the air. It's already too late to deal with global climate change. It's already too late to save our precious democracy. I don't want to hear it. I don't know if it's already too late. But I do know that right now, we all have the ability to work to make a difference. There's no guaranteed victory. There's no guarantee that it isn't already too late. But what we do today informs tomorrow, changes tomorrow. What we don't do today also informs and changes tomorrow. The bet should be that there will be a tomorrow and a day after tomorrow, so that bestirring ourselves to do the right thing today does a couple of things. Doesn't guarantee that we're going to win. Doesn't guarantee we're going to get our way. Doesn't guarantee that we clean up the air or save a democracy or stop the slaughter in Africa or the Middle East. But what it does guarantee is what we do today can get done with passion, can get done with conviction, can serve as an example to our children and to future generations that during our time in the sun, we cared about something enough to do something. Almost never end a sermon with "on my way to church this morning," but I'm ending a sermon with "on my way to church this morning." I was listening to NPR, but you all know that, and there was a musician being interviewed who had some kind of strange lines in a song, and one of them was, "Dance as if you were just cured of cancer." Every one of us dodged bullets to get here today. Whatever path we took, there were lots of places where we could have been struck down in all different kinds of ways. All of us are absolutely statistically improbable. And all of us in dodging those bullets, we all know that when we have close brushes with our mortality, it tends to concentrate our minds to a sense of, let's have some sense of joy and appreciation of this lovely day. And so that image of just a sense of joy that we made it, that we got here, were created, were sustained, and are here to enjoy the day, to enjoy each other, and to create meaning in our lives by engaging the world. What a wonderful gift to celebrate today and every day.